2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Hello, DFS Army. We recorded this once. I messed up. This is take two. This is Jaguar Lou coming at you with Willie Walls. I'm sure you all heard him on Sirius Radio. Willie's got some great wins under his belt. Willie, you want to tell us those wins real quick?
Yeah, I've won over $700,000 to $800,000 in DFS in 3.5 years that I've been playing. I went to a DFS final in DraftKings for basketball, in which I was at $300,000 with like about a minute and a half left in the Dallas game. They took Dirk Nowitzki out, and I fell from number three to number eight, which cost me over $250,000. So I'm still bitter about that. But I finished in number eight, which wasn't bad for only one entry. I had a win. My biggest win was a football win where I had over $150,000 for a $5 entry. I finished number one out of 494,000 people. And I took down some other smaller tournaments. But it's been a good ride. But my thing is, I want to make sure that we pass our knowledge down. And you went to three finals yourself and won a significant amount of money. That we pass down our knowledge to our fans, you know, for the DFS community, Army community, and for any everybody that's listening to us, so we can teach them how to properly play DFS and what techniques and things that we use that make us successful. So, you know, we're only as good as how we make our DFS fans. We want to make them better, to make them money so we can continue to grow this sport. And if everybody makes money, guess what? Everybody's going to play and everybody's is going to continue to grow. So that's what we want to do. We want to teach everybody how to win, and we want to give you a preview for basketball as well as football. We're going to give you some good nuggets, you know, for things that you can look out for this, you know, upcoming NFL season as well as upcoming basketball season. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to talk some sports. I mean, baseball is okay, but these are my two sports. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Willie, I know. These are your sports. I love it. And a quick note on that, you know, the NBA live finals. McJester leaves. McJester is one of the best players in DFS. He leaves the live finals just for that reason, because it's a hell of a sweat. One block, one rebound, one steal puts you from 500,000 down to 100,000, and that stuff's a killer, you know? So next time we're at the same live final together, me and you go to the bar next door. We win. We lose, you know?
Absolutely. I agree.
Let's get started with some talk. So Golden State, I need to talk to you about Golden State. Sometimes when these teams team up like this, we've been seeing it over the past 3 years a little more, pertinently, whatever. But is the Golden State team saturated? Are you going to be playing four Golden State players, five, three? Or are you going to be fading them all together? Because there's not enough shots out there for all of them.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Golden State to kiss my hind pots, okay? No way in hell am I going to be playing a team that has five all-stars that are going to have to learn how to play together. It's going to be a learning curve on how to play together. And then, you know, it's going to be so many blowouts when they do learn how to play together that nobody's going to be worth their price point. I mean, if I had to pick one player out of all five that I think that will have a good price that I think will still feel the sassy, it's probably going to be Tremont Green. You know, that would be the guy. But I'm just telling you, I am not going to be looking for guys from Golden State because, you know.
No Steph Curry?
Assists,
steals, transition.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that. You can roster him, but at $10,500 for a guy that's going to be sipping on Gatorade in the fourth quarter, no thank you. I have no part.
You know what, Willie? I agree with you. For the first time, we're not going to argue right off the bat because I agree with you. I think you got to fade these Golden State players. Are you looking at these bench players at all? Damian Lee, I believe, is on the bench, or he might even be in the starting lineup once in a while if some players are sitting. Are you going to look at Damian Lee or any of these bench players?
To me, I just think it's best to when you have a situation like that with Golden State, we don't know how everything is going to work out. It's going to be a wait and see, so I could get a pattern of what goes on. You know, I would rather focus my other stuff on assets like people like that I know is going to get time, like Tyreke Evans, for example, for him going to Indiana Pacers, which I think is a fantastic, fantastic move for him. They have
Tyreke Evans is the man. He's the best DFS player out there. He told me once actually that I'm the best daily fantasy player out there, if you ever ask him.
Absolutely. You got a guy who has the swag and a confidence, and I just think that he is going to be a great asset to Indiana. And when he comes in, what is this going to be? Remember, that's the role that Stevenson used to play that went to the Lakers. So he's going to come in. He's going to facilitate. He's going to shoot shots. He's going to get the full gamut of everything.
Oladipo, Stevenson, these players are all very similar. They're going to know how to run him. Trust me, he'll do great.
Well, remember, Stevenson's not there anymore. He's with the Lakers.
I know. I'm just saying the Pacers do know how to run these, I guess you'd call them shooting guards with extra ability. I mean, they have these unbelievable players that they've lucked out with over the years. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Victor Oladipo.
Absolutely. And he finally got that shot. And it's kind of an indictment on Michael Westbrook in terms of, you know, you look at Oladipo the way he played, you know, with Oklahoma, and you look at him the way he played with Indiana Pacers. Okay? It felt like he'd been let out of jail. And now we see the talent and you know, the skill that this guy has. I mean, you know, Indiana's going to go nothing but up this year. I really feel good about Indiana this year.
Yes, I definitely agree. And remember, when we talk about players, you know, there's a difference between talking about teams that are going to do well, and then there's a difference between talking about DFS players that are going to do well. Me and you were talking about this before the podcast. Mario Hezonja, he's on the Knicks. I mean, depending on his price, he's going to start out at around 42, I would guess, on FanDuel. He's going to play unbelievable, whether he's off the bench or starting. And players like that are always worth a mention. Yeah?
I listen, and for this podcast, because we, you know, great minds think alike sometimes. Now, when a game starts, we always disagree, but I agree with you. I think Sonia is a hell of a play. And remember, this is a guy that when he started, Lou, he almost took down a tournament for you one time when you played him. I mean, the guy's more like
I know. You know what the thing is, though? I like playing guys like Hezonja when no one knows about him, when you get him at 3%. Now on the Knicks, he's going to get a bunch of exposure. He's going to get a bunch of shots on that second unit. He's going to be 30% owned on some nights.
Well, yeah, but not in the beginning, though, Lou. You know, they're not going to know about it in the beginning. And depending on what his price is, you know, because we don't know what they're going to price him at, you know, he might be a little still in the beginning. And remember, the Knicks are just a habitual bad team. So, you know, this will be the type of environment that he might flourish in, you know, the type of game that they play. So I look forward, you know, seeing a guy. And what do you think about DeAndre Jordan going to the Mavericks? What do you think about him?
The Mavericks are where people go to the Mavericks are the equivalent of Florida. You know, when you live in New York, you retire, you go to Florida. That's what the Mavericks are. I hate the Mavericks. I mean, they have such talented players that I love individually, but I just think that it's the place to go to die. I mean, I love Harrison Barnes. I love J.J. Barea. I really love their entire team.
But you know what, though? I'm going to disagree with you on this one. See, because what are the Mavericks good at? They are good at pick and roll.
He'll get his stats, Willie, but... You know, in terms of, is he going to be playing hard for the playoffs late in the season? No. Is he going to be getting the minutes? No. How old is Dwight Howard now? He must be pushing, I'm going to look it up right now. I mean, I don't think he's going to get the 32 minutes. I was talking about DeAndre, not Dwight Howard.
Oh,
I'm sorry about that. You know what's funny, though? DeAndre Jordan is just as I both of these players. Dwight Howard's 32. I'm sorry, and then DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan had a very good situation at the Clippers. You know, I mean, DeAndre Jordan's 29, so he's a little younger. But I do think DeAndre Jordan will get his 10-10. That's the kind of player he is. He'll get his 20-20. But the fact is, I can't go to the Dallas Mavericks for anything other than a slow-paced game and a loss.
But I'm not talking about how it's going to be.
I know you're talking about DFS. I like DeAndre Jordan. Don't get me wrong, but man, he's just the worst. I like him. He gets those rebounds. If he has the matchup.
And see a sleeper that we didn't talk about, Lou, that I'm gonna bring up right now is a guy that you will be able to play. Well, let's talk about the big elephant in that room. Okay, let's talk about LeBron James. So what are your views on LeBron James? Tell me about what you think of him going to the Lakers and how it's going to affect Cleveland.
I said when he went there that if I had a mortgage, I do not, I would reverse mortgage my house and put it all on Golden State, because I'm a firm believer that you can't put a guy like LeBron James on a team and just have them beat the Golden State Warriors. Now, I'm more inclined to love Golden State without Boogie Cousins. I mean, yes, he's a very talented player, but he's emotionally crazy. He could ruin their mojo this year. But in terms of LeBron going to the Lakers, I think it's going to take a couple years for them to get acclimated. I have no doubt they have the skills. I just think that in terms of a championship, we're looking at another Golden State championship this year. And the odds for the bookmakers, for our handicappers out there, are looking pretty good simply because the Lakers are the competitor with them. But I do think Golden State has a clear path to another championship. I think you disagree, though.
And No. I know. I agree. I mean, come on. Golden State, they are hands down. I mean, basically – You gotta put down $150, $200 to win $100. You know that you know that's the kind of odds you have. But the odds.
But with $100,000, is it worth it?
It's not worth it. Let me say this about LeBron James, and I will tell you this. And we talked about this before. The effect of LeBron James, and this is what everybody needs to understand. Despite what happened with Kyrie Irving, I just think it was like a Kobe Shaq situation where the little brother stopped, tired of being a little brother. He wanted to become a big brother. He wanted a big piece of chicken. So I think that's the same thing for LeBron. But it's a fact what LeBron James, the effect that he has on the team. And let me give you an example. I'll give you an example with Michael Jordan. In 1993, Michael Jordan, he went to play baseball, okay? Now, that team, of course, won three straight NBA championships. When Jordan left that team that he had, and they had Kukoc and they had Scottie Pippen, they were one bad call from New York of going back to the NBA Finals again, okay? But when LeBron James in 2010, the Cleveland Cavaliers were 61-21. When he left that team, it was like, I don't know if you ever saw Lion King, it was like Mufasa dying, okay? They went the next year. They were 19-63. So they won. They went from 61-21 to 19-63. So they went back to the lottery 4 years until he came back again. And when he came back again, they went from 33-49 to 53-29, and they went to the NBA Finals. And what happened to the Miami team? The Miami team. I'm glad you asked me that. The Miami team, went from.
I didn't ask you anything. Don't put words in my mouth.
But guess what? I'm going to tell you anyway, because that's how we roll. Okay, so that team went from 37, they were in the NBA Finals winning 54 games, and they went to 37-45 and went back to the lottery too. So what I'm trying to tell you is LeBron James is worth 16 to 18 wins. Now the Lakers, I agree with you, because now if they get quiet, if Leonard gets there, then we're talking, they're going to be real competitive. But with Boogie Cousins going to Golden State, man, even the great LeBron James, and I'm thinking this year is going to be finally where we're going to – well, I think you're going to see LeBron James slip a little bit, in terms of he can't be this good that long. It's incredible what LeBron James has done. But trust me when I tell you this, they will be better, and he will teach them to be professional, because right now he's going to start, he's going to bring the young boys into them and teach what it has. Now there is a couple of interesting things that we can talk about this. Now, I want to get your view of what did you think about them getting Rondo coming to that team, as well as we signed a Caldwell Pope. What are your views on that?
Look, I love Rondo, but I've said this many times before, unbelievably talented player, but he might be the worst defensive player in the entire league. Would you agree with me there?
Rondo plays better, but so is James.
Yeah, but you're saying LeBron James is exerting twice as much energy. His offensive usage is through the roof. I mean, Rondo just passes the ball. I mean, I get he could make the occasional three, but he's got to play some defense. He's got to step it up. I mean, players had unbelievably amazing games against him last year. If you look at the BVPs, if you look at the DVPs for basketball last year, it was really easy to see the player that was guarded by Rondo had a great game, and the person that Drew Holiday took did not have a good game. So, you know, I always love Rondo's ability to push it in transition, get some steals. He's a great fantasy player, but, you know, I don't love his defensive ability. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left, you need your point guard in the game. And if he's getting killed on the defensive end, they're going to take him out. Similar to how I feel about Isaiah Thomas, except Isaiah Thomas has literally no offensive upside whatsoever these days.
I can agree with you on that. What do you think about Caldwell Pope, them re-signing Caldwell Pope instead of maybe trying to get Boogie Cousins? What do you think about that?
I don't mind Caldwell Pope. I will say his defense has declined over the years. He's another player that's atop the list of DVPs. Sorry, I'm trying not to say BVP. He was atop the list of the DVPs last year. He's usually a shutdown defender. As they're relying more on him for his offensive abilities, his defense is definitely going to shit. So, you know, you got to watch out for these guys. Basketball is a two-way game, and you want your players on the court as much as possible, which means you need them helping out their team as much as possible. So if they're getting abused on the defensive end like Rondo does, like IT3 does, you know, you really might not see them in the fourth quarter. For example, Enes Kanter, he's one of the Knicks' best players. He's rarely on the court in the fourth quarter because he can't play defense. And there's other players on the court that could score, but those players can also play defense. So I like to judge my picks or my players defensively as much as offensively, because if you get a good, you know, three-man stack on a team that runs a great game in transition, not only are you getting the steal in transition, you're getting the assist and the dunk, hopefully by the three players you have. So those are correlation plays I like to look at. But I am a big matchup guy. So as we talk throughout the year, I can't generalize one player because I look at every single matchup individually, and I think that's very important in NBA DFS.
I think you dropped some good knowledge, you know, for some of these fans so they can understand, Lou, you know, what they need to look
at. Dropping the mic, Willie. Drop some knowledge.
Absolutely.
So listen. We do want to get into NFL, but I have so much NBA to talk about. We're going to cap this podcast at like 45 minutes because we have to preview something, you know, we can't give it all away on the first show. But, I guess the next thing I was going to ask you about was Tony Parker. Yeah, what a crazy fucking move that was, huh? He could have ended his career, you know, at the Spurs, you know, they could have done a whole ceremony, and now he's going to the Hornets. Are you expecting anything out of him?
Let me ask you something, Lou. Have you ever heard of a tree fall in the forest?
I don't know, man. I don't know what reference that is, but are you saying he's not going to do anything good?
I got two words for that movie. That is D-O-O-D-O-O. That's all I got to say about it.
Willie, can I tell you that? I had a girlfriend that listened to your podcast, and one morning we woke up. She happened to spill some cookies that were in the bed, and I woke up to her saying, "Oh no, there's doo doo in the bed." So you know what? We gotta limit these doo-doo calls because this girl Amanda that I know, she is taking to your doo-doos too much, and it's weirding me out.
Let me give you another reason why to say doo-doo. How about Dwight Howard going to the Wizards? What do you think about that?
You know what? I was really pissed off for one main reason. FanDuel sent some great tickets over the Net games, and he originally was there, and I was really excited. In terms of the Wizards, I think he'll get his boards. I think the Wizards have been bogged down with Marcin Gortat. Not that he's a bad player, but I think they always needed an upgraded center. And I think he'll thrive there. I think he could clean up the boards. Bradley Beal can take those threes. You know, you got a bunch of great shooters, so Otto Porter Jr., John Wall, they can take care of the perimeter. And then, you know, you got Dwight Howard, which is, I think, a great call. The problem is with Dwight Howard is he ranges in price so much. I mean, I've seen him at 10.5, and then I see him at 8. It's like you want to grab him at 8, but you got to almost guess that that's his game. And that's when I get into the matchups, like against a team like the a horrible center team like the Nets. You know, these are the times that you have to grab him at 8,000. I don't want to grab Dwight Howard at 10.5. It's just not what I want to do. I know he has the upside, but I don't like paying 10.5 for anyone that's not LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know? Like, I don't love doing that.
But how are you going to – okay, now, we're going to disagree. Now, how the hell are you going to say that's a good move, him going to the Wizards? Number one is, first of all, what does Dwight Howard want? He wants Shaq, okay?
He's going to clean up those boards, Willie. He's going to clean those boards up so clean, they're going to be able to fire the janitor. I mean, every shot that goes up there is going to be a three. Threes come off the backboard strong. Dwight Howard's going to have 7 offensive rebounds with 6 putbacks a game.
Disagree. Then what about the daggone locker room? Listen, the Wizards already got problems already, right? They got problems with John Wall. You know, people talking about, does John Wall need to be there or not? Did they play better without John Wall? So you're going to put John?
That's all bullshit. John Wall's one of the best players in the league. I hate when people say that. He deserves to be on that team just because they haven't won. Don't fucking blame that shit on him. And I'm not saying you. I'm saying everyone else says that. But Dwight Howard's going to clean up those boards. He's going to be licking his chops. Because Bradley Beal is either going to make those threes or Dwight Howard is going to grab an offensive rebound, put it back up, or throw it right back out to Bradley Beal.
Like I said, we're going to disagree on that. We're going to see when the season starts. But I'm going to tell you, I told you so, and I'm going to be right like I normally am right. So
I'm going to do what you always say. I'm going to put my balls on the table. I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to put them on the table. And that's it, man. I don't want to pay 10.5 for him, though. I want to pay 8 because his usage shots are going to go down, and that is true. But he's got to make his own offense. He's got to get boards. He's got to block shots, which he's always capable of doing, and I think he'll do it.
Yeah, but he's a year older, Lou. This is what I'm saying. He's a year older, and what's the one thing that we always get from Dwight Howard that follows him? Sometimes he can be a little malcontent. He can be a little moody. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, sir. You're right.
So that's what I'm saying. And and are the Wizards, are they a team without controversy already?
Yeah, but that's not – it's irrelevant. That controversy is stupid. Everyone knows that John Wall is a great player. John Wall, if you're listening right now, come to the Knicks. I'll sign you. I don't have much to offer you, but John Wall deserves all-star. He's an amazing player. There's no reason to call that controversy. Because they haven't – what?
What offense do they run? Think about it. What offense?
Look, they're all over the place. But for the most part, they're in transition. They want John Wall to push the ball, and they want to push it out to Bradley Beal. But that's where Dwight Howard comes into play. He's going to clean up those boards.
Well, listen, we're going to agree to disagree, man. We're going to see how that works out. I mean, you know, I think, you know.
Dwight, if you're listening, man, you see Willie on the street, you let him know what's good, because Willie doesn't believe in you.
Absolutely. And I'm in D.C. here, and I would tell him, too. I'm going to say, you are a big piece of doo-doo, Mr. Howard. I would tell him that right now.
Yeah, Willie, we could actually curse. I was just messing around before. We can R-rate it up a little bit more.
Okay. So, listen, let me ask you about this. What do you think about the Bulls re-signing Zach LaVine for 4 years for $78 million? What do you think about that?
I want to know if he still got it. I'm really curious because I love Levine. I didn't see him much last year, but he's got that great 3-point shot. He's always capable of playing well on the defensive end. I like Levine. I think it's good that they matched that contract. If they wouldn't have matched that, they would have let him go away. I don't think that's the move that they want to do. And they could match the contract. It wasn't like they went out of their way. And they had the right to. So it's a good thing they did that. And I think you can count on some major points from Levine. Roster him early because he's healthy now, or he should be. So, get him for that salary. That's worth it.
Okay. So what do you think about, I love the Jabari Parker. You know, I heard that they might trade for Jabari Parker. What do you think about if Jabari Parker go to the Bulls? What do you think about Jabari Parker?
I love Jabari Parker. I never knew what they were doing with him on Milwaukee, but I really do love him as a player. He comes off the bench and just gets 10 and 10 right off the bat. I do think that the Bulls will use him right if he ends up going there. It's not finalized, right? I don't believe it is.
Not finalized.
No, I think they're still working it out. But I'm looking at, can Jabari Parker get the happy ending? Derrick Rose couldn't. Who writes these freaking headlines? But I think Jabari Parker is a great player. He should be starting. And honestly, that Milwaukee team was so messed up, like having Tony Snell start. Like, I never understood that lineup.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me add this to it. I agree with you. I think he's going to be a great player. But let me tell you, I think the kind of effect it has. You remember how sometimes we don't know a player until they go off on their own? And I think he might, because he got playoff experience, okay? And he might be like another Harden situation. I'm not saying to that degree or Oladipo situation where you got a guy that has immense talent.
Yeah, more like an Oladipo. You're saying he's going to put up some big numbers.
Right. And I just think that what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is make sure you watch the preseason games. But I think, when his price comes out, I think his price might be in the 6,000s, like on FanDuel, for example. I think you better get it before it hits the 8,000 or 9,000. You follow what I'm saying? That's the type of guy that we need to play in the beginning.
Guys, just to make this clear, me and Willie will always say we like players, but the real skill is finding value. NBA is different from MLB. You can't, in MLB, your players are going to get 3 or 4 at bats. Every night, the very first thing I do is look for value. What players are starting that shouldn't be starting? Who's going to get an excess in shots that normally doesn't see that and their salary doesn't reflect it? So understand that every player that, me and Willie basically know that every player is great in the NBA, with exception to Saham Marji or whatever that guy's name was on Dallas. But it's just a matter of getting these players at a great price. I love Dwight Howard, but I'm not going to pay $11,000 for him. It's just because it doesn't work out and the rest of your lineup is shit. So that's something that you got to make clear, that it's not just finding a good player in a good matchup, but at the right price and the right value.
Yeah, so I just think that, that is going to be one of my guys that I'm going to be looking for in the beginning. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about some people that, to me, it's a lot of money for players that I know I wouldn't have paid them, but I just want to get your opinion on it. Let's talk about Derek Favors, okay? Derek Favors, he resigns with Utah for $18 million, okay? And then here you go, you got Portland that resigned Nurkic at $12 million. I just think Utah made a mistake by signing him for $18 million. What do you think about Favors? I just...
100%. You can't put Favors in the same category as Nurkic. And I never really liked Favors. He has that mid-range shot, which is nice. He has the ability to play well, but I always feel like he's behind the eight ball. He's running on the offensive side when the defense is running back. He's a slow player. He's not really big enough to run the center. He's a power forward that doesn't really – I don't really see him with a quick step. I mean, he's got such a narrow-sighted game, and I don't love him. I think we're going to see – last year I went on Sirius Radio, and I talked about how Utah was a great team with Joe Ingles, and they ended up making a run. They made me look very good. This year I think you might see a very big you know, you're not going to see them play too well. I think that Utah might see 3 or 4 years of rebuilding because they just don't have the power. They don't have the ability to beat some of these great teams in the league, and I think they're going to lose the majority of the other matchups with the subpar teams as well.
Well, I think they got that rookie that's a hell of a player. They still got players, but as long as Rubio's healthy, they still will make it. But I think they're going to be behind teams like maybe the Lakers this year, depending on who else the Lakers get. So I kind of agree with you on that. I just didn't think that was about it. Let's talk about another signing that I thought was ridiculous, especially at his age and the fact that he doesn't, you know, play full seasons. What do you think about Chris
Thomas?
No. We'll talk about that piece of doo-doo shortly. Let's talk about the other big piece of let's talk about Chris Paul signing 4 years for $160 million, 33 years old, can never stay healthy. What do you think about that?
Their backs, they had to. Obviously, it's going to be a mistake, but they had to. They got to put fans in the stands. At that point, it was one of their only options, and they had to do it. I don't like Chris Paul. I liked him when he was in his prime, but yeah, he does the same thing. He runs around with the ball. He waits to get to the free throw line, turns around as a fadeaway jumper, makes it or misses it, and he's not great on the defensive end anymore. So for what they paid him, no, I don't think it's a great call. Fantasy-wise, you might see him at $7,800 on FanDuel some nights. So you can definitely find value there some nights, but I think they're going to start transitioning. Is Austin Rivers, he's not on the team now, is it? Let me see. Hold on, really quick.
Rivers went to the.
No, so we actually. I'm looking at the lineup now. Avery Bradley, did he go there?
Oh, Avery Bradley is still with the Clippers.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley.
Yeah. And that's going to be a mess. You know, they resigned. You know, Avery Bradley.
And they have Marcin Gortat. Yeah, this is actually a mess right now. Right now, they're showing the projected starting lineup as for the Clippers is Bradley, Beverly, Gortat, Gallinari, and Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mess. You know, they got
a
bunch
mess.
Of...
Look, Patrick Beverly is a great player, but he's got to calm down. He's going to get somebody hurt one day.
Right, you know, and that's what I'm saying. So, you know, to me, I got it at 2 at a time, but I don't blame LeBron James not wanting to go to Houston. Because he would have all that. But see, to me, I think LeBron James is actually, you know, he's stopped chasing championships. His move going to the Lakers, and it's not set. Everybody keeps saying that, but we saw what happened, and we're going to get to another player where we transitioned to.
Wait, I'm going to ask you a question really quick. You know how they talk about in baseball how, you know, Matt Harvey goes to L.A., has a crazy night. I know Miami's still crazy, but are you worrying the least about LeBron going to Los Angeles and maybe getting a little party, you know, partying a little too much?
First of all, he doesn't do that. That's not.
Yeah, but you know, look, you put a hooker in front of anyone's room, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
LeBron, let me ask you something. What have you, besides his viewing when he had that when he was a free agent? What negative things have you heard about LeBron James? None.
No, he's a straightforward guy from what I see. He drinks wine, you know, but I'm just saying that L.A. is not Miami, and there's temptations there. And what?
Sir, you ever been to Miami?
I've been there. I know. I'm just saying it's a different spot. Look, I'm just saying there's growing pains, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a 95% chance in my mind that the Lakers will not win the championship. Can you agree with me there? Like, I know for a fact they're not going to win. Unless Leonard comes, I can actually tell you that I'm certain that LeBron cannot take that team and turn them into a championship team when the Golden State Warriors have been playing together for, you know, 4 or 5 years now.
Listen, hold on. As constituted, they don't have a chance in hell of winning a championship.
Right. They don't have one chance in hell. And I don't like how it's either Golden State or the Lakers talk on ESPN because I don't think the Lakers have a fucking shot.
They don't. Nobody got a shot against Golden State, but they are the third team on the books in terms of getting it. That's the effect of LeBron James. They will be significantly better, okay? But they have no shot against Golden State. Now, let me say this.
sir. If somehow, which I don't see it happening, but if Kawhi Leonard gets to the Lakers, then you're talking something different. You follow what I'm saying? They're going to be in a hunt. Now, they're still not going to...
No, I agree there. If you get that two-way player in Leonard, you really got something special over there.
You got something like a Jordan Pippen situation. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm gonna say this now. I don't see them doing it. I mean, and be honest, but, you know, let's look at this. You know, I honestly don't think Kawhi Leonard is going to end up going to the Lakers. I really don't, because if whatever team he plays for this year, look at the Paul George situation. Let's talk about Paul George, okay? Everybody thought Paul George was going to leave Oklahoma City to come to the Lakers. But guess what happened to Paul George? Let me tell you what happened, okay?
I love the way he did it, by the way. You see that video? He did it in the club.
Yeah, I saw what they did. But can I tell you why Paul George did not go there? The reason Paul George didn't go there, because who was all the talk about? LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, right? And then also Kuzma, who the Lakers did not want to trade. Okay? Kuzma was off the books. So you got three players that were slotted to be ahead of Paul George. You follow what I'm saying? So that's the reason why he stayed with Oklahoma City.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? And I don't know why this reminds me of that, but you go over to that situation in Boston. You know, you. Sorry to abruptly jump over that, but you remind me of this because, you know, you sign a guy like Gordon Hayward, and then two rookies show up that are very similar to Gordon Hayward's pace of play and the way he plays in Jason Tatum and Brown. You know, it's like you got three players now that kind of do the same thing. Do you see that? Like I do. I mean, I think that Boston has some chips to be dealt. And I think with the right moves and they got that coach, I think Boston's in a real great position this year, too.
I agree, but I don't know how they're going to sort out that mess, though, because Tatum.
Yeah. Look, they didn't expect Tatum to be that good, and they didn't expect Jaylen Brown to be that good either. But the fact is, I don't think they need Gordon Hayward anymore.
Yeah, but well, think about this. How about Kyrie Irving?
I know, but I'm talking about small forwards and shooting guards. You got a shooting guard in Jaylen Brown. You obviously don't need Marcus Smart because they're dealing him if they haven't dealt him already. And it's just you got a lot of similar players. And then you got Jason Tatum. What do you put? You got Al Horford, which can't really play the five. So you really got three threes, and you got a great point guard, and you got Al Horford that really should be at the four. So I'm very curious to see how they play this one out.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's gonna be interesting. But one guy that we haven't talked about, I don't think, is that I do like this move a lot. I like this move a lot. I disagree with the Lakers letting him go. What do you think about Julius Randle going to New Orleans? What do you think about that?
I love Julius Randle. I think he is such an all around player. It's unreal. He used to come to the league, when he first came to the league, he used to get into foul trouble, but he really is, I'm not going to go out on too much of a limb and say he's top five in the league in terms of centers, big power forwards, but I think you can consider him top 10 for sure.
I just think that he will be an essential part. Just think about it. They got somebody now that could come off the bench, okay, that can get them, 18 and 10. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a guy that's versatile as Julius Randle, you know, going to be playing with Davis now. And then, you know, when Davis is out of the game, you got a guy that now you can put at the center position. You follow what I'm saying? I think that's an outstanding move for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of these moves, we got to see how they play out. And,
there
we go. ESPN's on. But, you know, one thing that I do notice over the offseason, take it slow in the beginning for DFS basketball. Don't go crazy. Don't be entering monsters. You know, let's see how the teams play out. Let's see how the players look. You know, you never really know. Sacramento can make a run. You never know. Buddy Hield's a great player. I always take it real slow. I go mass GPP enter for $3, $1, and then when it all rounds out, you see how these players are looking on their new teams. you know, you take a shot at a monster or a qualifier or something of that nature.
I know you didn't mention Big T. Buddy Hield, you mentioned Big T?
Yo, just so you know, I played Buddy Hield in the most recent final. I was in like 60th. Buddy Hield took his team back on his back. I know I didn't say that right. I'm not cool. But Buddy Hield was killing it. Fourth quarter, went like 10 for 12, put me into 34th place right in front of Fuego, or right behind Fuego. Me, well, Fuego, and Brandon, a very talented player out of Texas. We all finished 34, 35, 36. But if not for Buddy Hield, I would have been screwed.
Hey, but let me say this. Now, I do, but Buddy Hield did have some big games, but he do got some big teeth, don't he? Buddy Hield got some big teeth.
Oh, yeah, you call them big teeth, don't you?
He got some big teeth.
All right. Listen, that's not on him. That's his orthodontist. You got to yell at the orthodontist for that.
Yeah, and one other guy that this is, I don't know if you heard this, Scuttlebutt, but now they're saying, listen, you know Oklahoma trying to get rid of Carmelo Anthony any way that they can. You know that.
Everyone's trying to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. I'm so happy we got him out of New York. I heard he's going to be selling hot dogs in Oklahoma. They just transferred his contract. He's a hot dog salesman.
Oh, they're trying to complete a deal for him going to Houston.
He's a bum. He's a bum.
And that's going to make Houston even worse. Like I said, Houston is going to be a mess. I don't blame LeBron James.
Yo, Carmelo is an ISO player that can't play in ISO. And he doesn't defend. Like, I don't know what the draw is to him these days.
And then also look at Houston, which I don't think is going to make a difference for Phoenix, but they lost Trevor Ariza. He was one of their bulldogs they had on defense. So Houston is going to be a total – they're going to – listen – Houston is. I think Houston is going to have some regression this year. I think they.
I agree, and Willie, this sucks because we're supposed to be fighting, but you know, until the season starts, I guess we're just gonna have to agree a little more than normal. But I agree. I think Houston's fucking screwed this year. I think Trevor Ariza is a bigger piece than you think he is. I think that Clint Capela is a great player, but I'm getting a bunch of texts right now. I like Clint Capela, but you know what? I don't think that you can rely on James Harden as much as they have been without repercussions. And I think that James Harden could get hurt. I think that teams are going to adjust. I don't see Houston playing particularly impressive this year.
And let me say this. Let me wrap this in a bow, and I'm going to tell you the difference between LeBron James and James Harden, why it's not even close for who's the best player in the league. Understand this.
You can drive to the basket.
This is what happened with James Harden when Chris Paul left. Okay, you saw that Harden, when he plays more minutes, what happens to Harden? He wears down. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, and it seems like he's doing well because he's jacking up 25 shots. But you know, the stats are there. But the truth is, I don't think he can take a team by himself to a championship.
And you see what LeBron James did. And the only reason why LeBron James' stats went down in terms of shooting, because remember that after they lost that first game against Golden State, which they should have won, you know, with some bad calls and some other things that happened, which changed the whole series around. It's just like when Toronto lost to LeBron James, you knew it was over. You know, it was going to be a sweep after that. Same thing. He banged his hand against the wall and did something with his hand. So that's why he couldn't shoot. You know,
I know. I heard that. You know, Toronto is another team that disappoints me. Sorry to change the subject again, but Toronto should be a major team. Valanciunas is playing lights out these days. You had Lowry, DeRozan. Why can't they win?
Well, but you know what? Now that LeBron James is gone, I think they're gone. And this is the ironic thing. They fired their coach who should have been fired, okay? Now you got it where they got a legit shot to come out the East. Because if they get Kawhi Leonard, which, you know, they're trying to get, you know, go to a team like Kawhi Leonard, if he goes there, Toronto's coming out of the East. I'm going to tell you that right now. Toronto's coming out of the East. If Kawhi Leonard comes.
Do you know how many times I've heard that? Do you know how many times I've heard that this is Toronto's year?
I understand that, but the only difference was, just like what Jordan did to the New York Knicks, and he did to other teams in the East, is it was one player holding them back from going to the finals. It was LeBron James. LeBron James was
their kryptonite. You know that as well as I know that. You know, they couldn't get past LeBron James. They had a brain freeze against LeBron James. And I know you play ball. There are sometimes, you know, when I play basketball, there are sometimes that it was a guy that was not as talented as me, Lou, but that was a pain in my behind, pain in my ass, you know, in terms of checkmate. I didn't like that
no,
guy.
No, I understand that. I mean, typically when I play, I'm always better than everybody on the court. So I don't fully understand it, but I get what you're saying there.
I get it. You wake up and then find out that you were dreaming. Please, get on out of here. Yeah,
yo, Willie, I live in Harlem. When I go out and ball here, you know what they call me? I don't know if you've seen me, but I look like Ricky Rubio, and I'm smaller than everyone else, so they call me Ricky Rubio. I'm making a name for the kid out here.
So you're white chocolate? Is that what you're saying?
I'm white chocolate. I'm the macadamian cookie, you know?
how many minutes have we been?
we're looking at 45 minutes right now. I mean, I know you wanted to talk a little NFL. The only thing I really wanted to say was in terms of NFL right now, I mean, I can talk all day about it, but Darren Sproles, man, that makes me sad. Mom's from Philly, got a lot of friends that are from Philly. He was always a great player. It's going to be sad seeing him go.
Yeah, well, let me give the, you know, let's go a little overboard because we got some more information we need to get out to these people that I wanted to tell them.
We got 15 minutes. Go 15 minutes for football.
Okay, all right, so here we go. All right, so let me give you a little tidbits like some of the top free agent signings that came out to me. You know, in my opinion, that I think that's going to be important this year. One is, and normally I don't talk about offensive linemen, but I will talk about one. It's a guy named Andrew Nowell. Okay, he went to Jacksonville. Okay, what's more important for that is he's never been graded lower than 82% according to Pro Football Focus. Okay, and how does this benefit us? You got a guy and a back named Leonard Fournette. Okay, Leonard Fournette is a monster. Okay, so now you got one of the best guards in the NFL that people were going after. That is going to enhance the game of Leonard Fournette. Because you know what does Tampa Bay like to? I mean, what does Jacksonville like to do? They like
run
to run.
Sweet.
They like to run the ball. Then we got another guy that came from New England. There's going to be a couple of guys that came from New England that I'm going to give you some information on. One is called Malcolm Butler. He went to the Titans. Okay, why is this important? Okay, this is important. I'm glad you asked me that, Lou, because I'm about to tell you, okay? The reason why it's important is that Tennessee was number 25 in pass defense last year, okay? So now you got a guy who's really the 51st ranked quarterback, according to Pro Football Focus. You know, he's the 51st ranked quarterback now going to Tennessee. And now he's going to be besides Andrell Jackson, who's another up-and-coming corner. So now Tennessee already had a good front seven. Now they're going to solidify that back four, and that's going to make a difference. So Tennessee will be one of those sneaky teams that you use for DFS for defense, okay? So let me talk about another guy that is going to be very important for DFS to change team. Another guy that went from New England, Deion Lewis, okay? Deion Lewis is now going to Tennessee, okay? You know, he's going to combine with Henry, okay? But Deion Lewis is going to be the back that you want to use, you know, that you want to use for DFS purposes. And let me give you the effect of Deion Lewis has on the league. Do you realize that New England Patriots, the last 36 games they played with Deion Lewis, they are 32-4? Do you realize that? 32-4 with Deion Lewis, okay? Without Deion Lewis playing, that record is 13-7, okay? With Deion Lewis, 32-4, without him, 13-7, okay? Now, he rushed for more yards in the second half of the year than any back in the NFL, the second half of the season, because remember, he was hurt.
He catches it, too. They do that little sweep right, and they hit him on the run on the right a lot. I love that play.
Yep, and he was the back that had a minimum of 150 carries. He had the highest per-game average, 4.9. So that's the effect that Deion Lewis is going to have. Then I'm going to give you another effect that is going to be a good in two ways because he had a doo-doo quarterback. You got Allen Robinson. Now, he's coming off an ACL tear, but he's going to the Bears. And with that,
yeah, not just doo-doo. Jake Bortles makes the doo-doo. Blake Bortles, from now on this show, is the doo-doo, all right? Can we agree on that? I hate Blake Bortles. He's the worst player in the fucking league.
Hey, sir, I agree with you not only 100%, but 255%. He is straight.
It's not even that he doesn't have the arm strength. He can't make the throws. He's inaccurate, and he has two unbelievable wide receivers in Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson and a great running back. He's got time to throw relatively, and he can't make it happen. And I'm going to be honest, I drafted him in my season-long league last year, hoping that he could take all those great players around him and do something with it. But as my good friend Willie would say, he just put up some big doo-doo.
Lou, you should have been whipped with five belts for taking that piece of doo-doo. I can't believe you even chose that.
I took him in like the ninth. I don't know. It was like him or Jay Cutler. It's so ridiculous that he – Jacksonville, first of all, with Tom Coughlin running that front office, you are going to see some big things out of that team. Tom Coughlin is a football genius. I don't know how the Giants let him go.
Well, yeah, I think Tom Coughlin has learned – from something that says he's not, I don't think he's as regimented as he used to be, but he does win though. I can't take that away from him. He does win. But let me give you another guy, Lou, that's going to make a difference this year.
Listen, Willie, squeeze it in there. We got 8 minutes and 45 seconds. I want to hear as many good plays as he got.
Okay, so then we got Dominique Sue. Okay. He's going to the L.A. Rams. And the L.A., I'm going to tell you, it's going to be so loaded on defense. They got Dominique Sue, who was fifth, okay? And then last year, and you compare him with Aaron Donald, and then I'm going to give you the number five guy that they also got is Marcus Peters from Kansas City, okay? Now he's going to be opposite Khalil Khalid, you know? So you got Khalid, you got Wayne Phillips, who's one of the best coaches with that. My goodness, man, they're going to be a beast, okay? Defensively, okay. Then you got Jarvis Landry, who went as a free agent that went to Cleveland. Okay. Now the reason that's going to be important: what does Tyrod Taylor do mostly? He throws the good intermediate passes. That's right down his wheelhouse. So that could be a guy that we could get in the beginning of the year, DFS, that will be a low price that could give us a lot of value. Okay. Then you got Sherman. You know. So let me talk about that. Now there's some guys that I want to talk about that we need to look at from the beginning. But I want to tell people about, you know, let me give you some information about Antonio Brown, okay? Antonio Brown, okay, averages 10.4 targets, 6.9 receptions, 98.5 yards, 0.18 since 2011, okay? But his road average in DraftKings points from the road to home is 28 points on home, 20 points on DraftKings. So what I'm trying to tell you guys to get an edge this year, play Antonio Brown when he plays in Heinz Field. He plays better in Heinz Field. I can't tell you the reason why, but that's just the way.
I mean, Heinz Field is one of the last remaining fields, if I'm not mistaken, with actual grass. That could be one of the main reasons, too, because all these fields are AstroTurf now. Unless something changed in the last year, I do believe Hines does use actual grass on their fields, which is a big deal.
It's a big deal. And let me tell you about this, too. They, you know, it's a lot of people that we could choose for them because, remember, they got Schuster, that boy Schuster, that was a rookie. They got also, and then you got Le'Veon Bell, who's not going to come in early. But Le'Veon
Yo,
Bell.
Schuster's the man. I love that first name, Juju. What's a better first name, man? Juju Smith-Schuster.
And then we're going to have people coming back this year. Like, remember this guy? Remember this guy, Lou, David Johnson? He'll be coming back this year for him, you know?
Yeah, listen, I told my brother day one this past season, don't take David Johnson over Le'Veon Bell. He got Le'Veon because he had first pick. I said, Le'Veon Bell is a seasoned vet. You know what you're going to get out of him. David Johnson had two good years. I get it. He was focused. Don't jump on that David Johnson train just yet. Please, guys, please. Don't pay 10-5 or whatever they're going to charge for him. In the beginning of the season, you're going to have an opportunity to play running backs that are going to get just as much usage, or not just as much as David Johnson, but have similar upside. Like, we haven't mentioned Saquon Barkley, the Giants' number one pick, and number two in the draft, number one for the Giants. He's going to get some serious run. The Giants have not had a real running back since Tiki Barber. I mean, if you want to consider Rashad Jennings a good running back, fine. If you want to consider Brandon Jacobs a running back and not a big man they gave the ball like Jerome Bettis, sure, he's good too. But Barkley will get some touches this year and quickly. So, you know, David Johnson, I'm going to disagree with you there. I want a little bit more of a sample size before I start paying for him.
I'm saying about David Johnson is he's coming back this year. And remember, this guy's a 100-100 threat. You got to understand that. He's talented, man. I'm not saying
I know.
But now, let's get back to the guy that you were just talking about. Let's get back to Barkley. I think this is a hell of a pick. I think this is the best prospect that we've gotten running back in over 10 years, okay? And I think, just think about what they did. The best thing that happened to the Giants is what happened to them. Remember, I think Shepard grown as a receiver, okay, for the Giants. You follow me? Shepard is a better player. Now you want to get Odell.
I love Shepard. Oklahoma, you get him in the middle of the field. Shepard, they did not use him the way they should have this year.
Yeah, but now you got Shepard. You got one of the best receivers ever that came out, Odell Beckham. Okay, then you got the tight end. You know, you got your tight end that's there. You know, so we're Ingram. Okay, so really, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I'm a Redskins fan. Damn, I'm scared as hell of this guy. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, I think Eli Manning now is going to be a factor for DFS. You follow me?
I didn't know you were a Redskins fan.
Yeah, I'm a Redskins fan, but I'm for whatever makes me money, okay?
Yeah, listen, I agree with you there, but in that case, send Kirk Cousins over our way, and, you know.
And going on that, Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota now, I mean, that is big to me. I mean, and listen, let me tell you something. Kirk Cousins had doo-doo in the stew with the Redskins. They had garbage, okay? And he was competitive with them.
Jay Crowder. What's his name? Crowder. I love that guy. Jameson Crowder.
That's the only guy that was worth anything. But just think about it now. Now you put him with Diggs, Thielen, you know, Rudolph, and Cook is coming back. You follow what I'm saying? You know.
He's definitely got some weapons.
So, you know, you think about that. And think about this, guys, in the beginning. Remember Alvin Kamara. Okay, remember, Ingram is suspended for the first four games.
Yo, how am I going to forget that, dude? Those two guys single-handedly ruined my season. I didn't have any of them on season longs because who would? I mean, Mark Ingram, I thought it was his down year, and Kamara, nobody even knew until week three. And those guys really killed me as a team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, but those are the type of guys, you know that you're going to really be looking for. You know, and really, there's going to be a lot of value that we're going to get from guys. I mean, what do you think about Beckham coming back? Because you're from New York. I mean, what do you think about Beckham? Give me your thoughts.
Look, he's a talented player. Personally, I think that Shepard's more of a threat down the middle. They're going to put Shepard in the slot. He's going to run those posts. And I would rather in season-long roster Shepard and pick him in the sixth, fifth round than taking ODB in the first. Like, he'll get his touchdowns, I think. But I don't love him as a player. He's emotional. He's got a declining quarterback. Eli's going to have less and less time to throw, meaning it's going to have to be little dump-offs to Shepard, not necessarily 50-yard bombs to ODB. So I really don't love him as a player. I don't love his situation this year. I do think that Sterling Shepard benefits more off this situation.
Let me drop some knowledge about your own guy that you don't know, okay? About Mr. Odell Beckham, okay? Let me drop you some knowledge. First of all, you know, he had 1,300 yards in his first, you know, and 90-plus catches in his first 4 years. You know, so that's the thing. He was on pace for 101, 1,208, and 12 TDs. His first four seasons, he averaged 6.7 in receptions per game, 94.1. His 0.181 touchdowns, targets 10.6. Beckham was number five per game, 18 points. He averaged 18 drafted points before he got hurt. Listen, Beckham is a beast, okay? He's going to make everybody better, and I agree. I don't want to pay for that price that you got to pay for Beckham because I think your value is going to be in Shepard, and I think Barkley is going to have – because – what they're going to run now, the New York Giants, is they got Pat Shurmur as a coach, okay? What is Pat Shurmur? I'm glad you're asking that. He played for he was the coach for the Vikings last year, and they ran the ball 501 times, okay?
So what they do is they
running the ball, I will say, will open up the bomb for ODB. If they can successfully run the ball and not just get it in Barkley's hands with the dump off, I do think that will result in some great throws for Eli Manning to Shepard to ODB, and he'll have some great numbers. But I really see Barkley being more of a pass back, and I've rarely seen the Giants succeed in the running game in the past 5 years at least. So that's why I get a little skeptical on ODB, because I get the run game translates to the long passing game, but I just don't think the run game is going to be there. I think it's going to be 7 passes to Barkley for 49 yards roughly.
They listen, Shermer runs the ball. Until everywhere he goes, they run the ball. They're going to do that. It's going to be an inside run, which Eli Manning does well, and they have not had a back that talented as a Barkley, I'm telling you. It's going to make a difference.
I love Barkley. I think it was a great pick. I really am. I'm excited to see him play. I think he's going to really work well. It's just a matter of our offensive line. Can we back him up? And if we can't, we got to dump it off to him and do some screens. Those screens are not going to open up anything for ODB. In fact, it's going to hurt ODB. He's going to have to block, and he's going to get upset. I just think that ultimately the Giants' success relies on a run game, and we can't say that until we see the O-line. And we see how Barkley looks. But I will say, everything I've seen about Barkley and everything I've read, and he seems like the perfect number two pick for the Giants.
Okay. How are we doing with minutes? What we got left?
Well, that's it. We're really at an hour and 1 minute. Time flies. We didn't even fight that much. Well, listen, guys. Willie, you got any closing remarks?
Listen, guys, we're going to bring you a lot of good content and information as we get closer to the season. Please listen to our podcast. We're going to have a lot of good information for you. And what our goal is we want to make you more money. You know, our success is going to be all for you doing well. So I thank you for, you know, listening to us. I really enjoy working with Lou, even though we fight a lot. And we're going to fight this year. Oh, hell yeah, we're going to fight. But
you know, I'm dropping the gloves, Willie. Today was a soft session. I'm going to really take it down in like 3 weeks when we do the next one or whenever we do it. I'm going to rip you apart, I swear. You don't know what's coming.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay, because you got to, for me, you better have some stats to rip me apart, because you know I got the stats, so don't even worry about it. But listen, I enjoy myself, Lou. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Appreciate it. That's one thing I do know, that we always do, even though we fight a lot, we do work well together. So,
Willie, I love working with you, and we're going to have a lot more of these for the year. Me and Willie are – I'm MLB, NBA, NFL. Willie is primarily NBA, NFL, but we will be coming at you only at DFSArmy.com. I'm going to see if I make this free so we can get a little preview for everyone. If I do that, then sign up afterwards to get all the benefits that DFS Army has to offer. From Willie Walls and Louie Jaguar Lou, I almost did the Fuego Steve sign off. But have a great night, guys. No baseball. We got the home run derby, but we'll be coming at you soon. Be good, guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. Yeah.